Long days and pleasant nights. This week's guest is Miles Newirth, a guy I've known for like 10 years, and he lives across the hall from me. As per usual, if you like the show, there's that Patreon account that I keep bugging. My goal with that, by the way, I feel like it's been very unclear. Just crackling the chair right now. The goal is like, I mean, it's like $10, $15 for the account for the RSS feed. If I could get that covered every month, that'd be great. But that's basically it. Check out Smuggle Buddies if you like Star Wars role-playing games and comedy. Enjoy the show. By the way, this track is a cover of Johnny Guitar played by Miles Newirth.
Play it again, my Johnny. Maybe you're cold, but you're so warm inside. I was always a fool for my Johnny. For the one Johnny Guitar, play it again, Johnny Guitar. Whether you go, whether you stay, I love you. What if you're cruel? You can be kind, I know. There was never a man like my Johnny, like the one they called Johnny Guitar. Never a man like my Johnny, like the one they call Johnny Guitar. Play it again, Johnny Guitar.
Hello, you've reached Miles Newirth. May I ask who's calling? Nope, I may not.
Okay. So, you're Miles Newirth.
And, may I ask who's podcasting?
You're a buddy of mine, I guess. Yeah, you're my best friend.
Probably.
You're from Minnesota. Like this is so forest, because, like, it's...
Hi, Miles, I'm from Minnesota. I've known Tristan for, like, a bajillion years now.
It's true, we're both a bajillion years old. Yeah. That's why we're so crotchety.
Yeah. Crotchety.
Isn't that the worst term, though?
It's not great.
It's like... I mean, it's pretty onomatopoetic, but, like, it's still not good.
Like, I don't... What I'm thinking about is, like, what does that got to do with crotches?
crotchety is, like, ornery, like, angry, like a penis would be if it could talk. If a penis could talk, it would just be crotchety.
Okay, so we should just call it Penis City. Because, like, Penis City, come on down to Penis City, everyone. Good times are good.
Oh, it's hard times at Penis City, let me tell you.
That was good.
Like, many people think it's a difficult here in Penis City, but that's a logical fallacy. Anyway. So you're born in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Raised in Minnesota by clowns.
I was raised by clowns in Minnesota. That's a fact about my life. Not like my parents weren't clowns. My I had a grandmother who was a clown, and
your parents one of my uncles died, and you were raised by your grandmother.
Yeah. So then I learned the ways of clowns so I could like fight crime. To avenge my parents'
death.
You
are literally the opposite of Batman. There is a villain.
Clownman.
A clownman. And there is a...
Harold Clownman. It's my superhero name.
A villain called the Bat-er. The Batter.
Yeah.
The Batter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, Batter, Batter.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, it's a baseball-themed villain, not a bat-themed villain. You'd think, because, like, the ironic poetry of you being Clownman.
Harold Clownman.
So anyway,
a lot of people worry, wonder about why my superhero name has just a regular guy first name.
Why is that, Miles?
Like,
I've always wondered. Is it because Harry Clownman sounds perfect?
It's very good. It's good. I do prefer Harold though. If you could.
Lol.
I was called Harry a lot as a smaller superhero.
I'm here with Harold Clownman. Head of the EPA.
Yeah.
And he's here to talk to you about the environment.
As you guys can clearly tell, so far, this interview podcast is, you can tell that I'm an actor. That was very clear from what we said. And this is going to be super informative about my life and my art, as the first bit of this has already.
Yes, and the third thing they can produce is the severity of both of our mental illnesses from the conversation.
That's true. At least we got right into that right
away. Just like, we're not going to talk about it all, but we're going to, like, there's
I'm
a shiny
gonna
example.
I'm
going to
demonstrate.
Yeah. Learn by doing.
Yeah. I'm an actor. It's tough because, like, you pretty much know everything I've ever done.
Yeah, it's true.
Actually,
it's all great.
It's all
very good.
Yeah. I'd say better than regular.
No, someone who was at one of my stand-up shows, the guy that, like, bizarrely clung on to me, not physically.
Right. You walk up on stage and this guy just like, yeah.
Where did you go? But anyway, he said, you and your buddy that came, they were in something, like, it was linked to the video that, like, you posted, and I was like, I didn't talk to him, but I'm sure it's Edgar Allan Poe, Paranormal Detective.
Right, that would be awesome.
And he said it was very funny. I'm like, oh my god, so a real person thought we were funny, that's good.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take some, I just want to push that, what's that called? Self-promoting on a podcast.
Self-promoting on a podcast?
That's fair. Like, there's a word for it. It's riveting stuff.
No, like, I'll just cut out the positive.
I'm very, very
promoting.
Proud of promoting. Yeah, I'm just going to promote this. It's a piece of work I did. It's Edgar Allan Poe, Paranormal Detective.
He plays...
I'm the titular character. Grandpa, I'd say, like, I wouldn't say it's my best work, but I would, like, heavily imply that it's my best work.
Because it's not good.
It's very good. You guys all should go watch it.
Define, okay, for my listening, for my mom, for my fan base, my mom, define what you mean by very good. What does very good mean? It's a McElroyism, isn't it?
That's, yeah, so it's like, when something's not good, it's very good.
Give me an example.
It's like dad jokes.
Okay.
Like puns often aren't good, but they're very often very good.
Okay.
And it's not something you get just by combining the words very good together. It's all about, like, the way that you say them. You have to be, like,
committed to, like, wanting to hit the person that said the joke.
But also, like in such a, like, an angry state of joy when you say it.
Oh,
and that's
that
really
you're pissed
what...
off that someone was clever.
Yeah, or for any reason you're upset about their humor. You're like, this is so funny, and I really just I hate how funny that was.
This is a monster.
Either like
mean...
I shouldn't think it's funny, or like I wish that no one had ever said these words out loud.
My favorite thing about this whole conversation we've been having is is the fact that you keep like looking at the microphone as if it's the audience you're talking to.
So I suffer from social anxiety. that's part of my poison. No, because that is that's a symptom of both of my mental disorders. Social anxiety and attention deficit disorder are things where people don't make eye contact for as much,
mm-hmm.
because they'll be either be neurotic about it or just because there's so much other things happening in the room. Like, I can hold this conversation, but I also have to read every title of every book on your bookshelf because there's just so many different colors. And they're so different colors.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're just blue. I only have blue books. Are you okay? Have you been to an eye doctor recently? Do you have a tumor?
Anybody here smell pennies?
P-E-N-N-Y. That's how I want to go.
Yeah. That was a joke. I stole that one from me. This is a little comedian you might have heard of. His name is Tristan. Tristan Miller.
And I know it is.
Yeah.
But just do that leg. He's shaking his leg because you do that and it wobbles the mic. Nice. And like, this has a shock guard. It's fine. But like, it could fall down. Yeah. I'm using a brand new mic stand and I don't know.
We're not confident in its abilities.
Yeah, not yet. It's been rough. I almost threw it against a wall because I got angry with it. Because that's who I am as a person. Nailed it. Like, it's that. It's like, I thought about, like, punching a hole in the wall and then just, like, sticking it in there and just being like, perfect. This is great.
I should hang every wall hanger, like, every
mic
hanger.
Mic stand like this. This is perfect. Why would I do anything else? So, excuse me. Nailed it. So, but, like, let's get a little bit of the background, the deep cuts of what you do.
When I'm not creating masterpieces in the form of Edgar Allan Poe Paranormal Detective, which is something I haven't done in 2-3 years.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Mostly because our main man, Dustin, moved away.
Yeah, he was the best part of that show.
He's
which, like,
admittedly, the only good part of that show.
Yeah. I mean, also, some nice hats.
Yeah, there were some nice hats. So that's... Really, you guys gotta just see it. You gotta see it.
This whole thing is going to be an hour-long advertisement, which is longer than, like, if you strung all of Edgar Allan Poe, every episode together,
minutes.
It's less than an hour.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes.
So this advertisement for it will be longer than the product.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really strong way to go about things. I think it's a really good choice.
Yeah, it's the Kevin Smith method. You make a two-hour movie, but you talk for 4 hours.
Yeah.
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 So, when you're not making Edgar Allan Poe Paranormal Detective, you're generally masturbating in a hammock.
In a hammock.
Your own creation, out of duct tape.
Yeah,
that has runes etched on the sides. Sorry, I'm doing all the talking for you. Let's just do it as a monologue, huh?
Yeah.
Right, so Miles, what do you think? Oh, you think that Sean Connery is a bastard person, don't you? Yep, I thought so. I thought you thought Sean Connery. Sorry.
We'll just put my part in post. It's okay. I'm just gonna... Actually, we've already... I'm recording my bit later. Tristan's already recorded the whole podcast. You'll know, because, like, alright, so I know he's about to say something coming up, and I'm just gonna talk over what he says, so you know it's not really synced up very well.
So, Nelson Mandela
and
was, in fact,
what
the
he's
true
talking
American
about
hero.
Here is,
because if you think about the ideals of America...
This bit's very good.
No, I'm actually really having a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, not to make it all about me, but today's my birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. So, like, I just, happy birthday.
No.
To you.
So, Miles got me something for my birthday. I'm gonna have you guys guess what it is. It was Taco Bell.
It was farts. It's like, you're just like, a nice subtle joke. I'm just like...
this is why we get along. It's like, synaptic, really quick, and then like, bludgeoning people with a joke.
It's like, farts.
Like a bludgeon job? It's what I thought you were gonna say, a bludge job, which is also something that sounds like it should be in Harry Potter. But anyway, you were raised... When did you start doing acting and this wonderful thing that we call improv?
Yeah, I started...
Was it an improvement of your life?
I know the first time I was ever, like, did a show. It was in a class. Like, it was, like, during school. Like, not even, like, a school class. It wasn't, like, a school play. It was in our class. We were going to, like, put on the Gingerbread Man. And we three people were like, oh, I want to be the Gingerbread Man. And I'm like, I want to do it. I'm gonna be the Gingerbread Man. She was like, all right, we'll have everyone bring in costumes, and you all get to, like, vote on who's has the best costume. So I got into acting, not because of any sort of skill I have as an actor or as a Gingerbread Man costume maker, because obviously I had no part in the making of it. The morning of, I remembered, oh no, I didn't make a costume. I'll never be the Gingerbread Man. And I freak out.
You never were.
And I told my mom, and my mom was like, all right, we'll make it right now. You'll be 2 hours late for school. And we'll throw some cardboard together. It wasn't 2 hours late, I'm sure.
It was like 20 minutes, I'm yeah. sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I had no sense of time, because I still don't.
Yeah, like... yeah.
But what about when you were a child, yeah. Miles?
But real talk, like, going on in that deviation of subject is, like, people who have hyperactive disorders have a very poor sense of time. Can you imagine a child with a very poor sense, like, with a hyperactive disorder? It's even worse, because, like, kids think life is longer than it is, because they haven't experienced most of it. That's the working theory, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like,
relatively, like
an hour is a greater percentage of that kid's life. It's like 2 days for you. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Also, there's a.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, but so I show up to class, and I not only did I didn't have the best Gingerbread Man costume. Mm-hmm. I had the only Gingerbread Man costume. Literally, no one else had made one.
Awesome.
So I got to be the Gingerbread Man, and there was I don't remember anyone in my whatever grade class's name was, but the cute blonde girl played the baker who baked the Gingerbread Man, and I got to hug her, and that was a big deal for me as a child, because physical contact was weird and rare in my life, because I was raised by robot clowns. So
what was the thing you were going to try and remember?
Right, there was a moment where me having no sense of time as a child, like, ruined a microwave.
when you put...
brown and serve rolls in the microwave. And I'm like, God, cooking always seems to take so long when my parents do it. I'm not going to read the box and see what it says to do for these brown and serve rolls. Probably need to be in here for five minutes. They didn't.
Like, was, 30 seconds.
Yeah, there was, like, black flames. Smoke coming out of our microwave. I didn't shoot flames out. That was actually my brother when he put oil in the microwave.
I accidentally, I was trying to thaw out a thing of Nutella, and I thought I got all the aluminium foil that comes on the cover of it out, and I saw some sparks, and I was like, this is exciting. Like, I had the worst response to that. I was like, oh, this is neat science. Cool. Like, whereas my manager, because this happened when I was working at an ice cream parlor, was like, what the fuck?
Nice.
I was like, but, science.
Look how cool it would, though.
I feel like we both know this person, and I think this is a true story. That one of my friends put a cat in the microwave because she thought it was cold.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this story, I feel like I blocked it out.
I know that, like, she either told me the story or the story happened to her. And since it's an awful, awful thing, I'm not going to mention the person.
Yeah.
But I'll bring it up in a later podcast when I have her on. So it'll be fine.
Great.
Okay, so that was the first time you did a theatery thing.
Yeah,
and was it, like, I know one of the main reasons I decided to go and was like, oh, I have no friends, and this seems like a way to make friends. Is that the case?
It's good during high school and college, but after that, you don't make friends in this industry.
No, that's a fact. Yeah, kind of like that. I went to my first audition. I did a bunch of auditions for, like, theater, no, for church musicals, and those were easy, and you got into those for auditioning, so, and I had a reputation at my church for singing very loudly, which is something not a lot of the kids did, but I remember I did a couple of auditions, one at the Mask, and I didn't get into whatever that was, I don't remember what it was, but my friend, my brother's friend, Bryant Flick, did get in, and then I auditioned for Stuart Little with David Driscoll,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't get into that either. And then, like, a couple months later, probably, I auditioned again for David for his improv troupe. And so that's where I started doing improv. And it was, like, we went around to schools and did fairy tales, which was very cool.
I feel like it really... I feel like actors that start off doing improv are generally, like, they're not, like, necessarily better, but there's a definite type, and you can see that, whereas, like, I feel like people who have start doing theater by doing, like, acting classes and stuff like that, rather than, like, even just doing, like, school plays and stuff like that, are tend to be, like, very more studious and serious about sort of thing, and, like, more of a Dustin Hoffman type of actor, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, when you start off doing improv, you're like, oh, well, nothing really matters. Everything has a safety net. I'm invulnerable when I do this, so yeah. Might as well go for big choices.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that I started in improv. Just because, like, one of the reasons I cite for being an actor that I like acting so much is because I like having something scripted to say in a conversation.
That's fair.
And I mention that a lot because when I mention I have social anxiety to people, they're like, that's a weird thing to say. No one says they have social anxiety. And I say, I do.
A lot and loudly say, when I'm not talkative, you understand why.
Yeah. But, like, people are like, well, how are you an actor? And I'm like, it's so good for it's so, acting is so good for my social anxiety. Because it, like, I know what I'm going to say, and I know how people are going to respond to it, and that's huge. Knowing that when I say this thing, like, because in conversation I could be like, oh, this is a cool thing that
people
find interesting. Yeah. And then I get this response, or, like, people ignore it, or they aren't really listening. That can't happen when I'm acting. I know what they're going to say in response. And sometimes I know it's going to be a bad reaction, but I know that. And then it's not a reaction to something I came up with.
Yeah, then, yeah, it's kind of difficult. That's always was my thing as well. Like, I would play, like, people who are assholes or whatever, and people are like, no, you feel bad? I'm like, absolutely not. That's not me. Like, someone wrote this thing that where I play a dick. Like,
yeah, they might be an asshole for writing it, but probably not even. But... that ain't my, none of that's my responsibilities.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did start in improv, and there isn't that in improv. It is just making it up. And I've never had an issue with that. Like, improv is really easy for me where conversation isn't, and I don't get why, because you think they would be a very similar skill set.
They are. It depends on what the goal of the conversation is as well. If the goal is, like, because you're good at, like, and I'm good at it too because of the improv thing of, like, going out, having a good time, goofing a lot, being very funny, but, like, often there's, like, there's not a lot of substance to what's going on. It's very entertaining, but, like, there's, like, you kind of put a wall between you and whomever you're talking to. That's one of the main reasons I do this, is, you know, so you can actually have an open and honest conversation where you don't have that thing, which I know I'm capable of doing, but it's only one-on-one. And I feel like that's the main difference between... because, like, I've talked to you one-on-one a lot, and I've seen you also, like, I haven't seen you, but, like, you've talked to me about how you've talked to people about things.
Yeah.
And if you're one-on-one, it's fine, because you're both, like, in this together, we have nothing else to do kind of thing, where,
yeah,
like, we're both 50-50. Whereas, like, if there's 20... even if there's, like, four people, like, it gets a little like, oh, who's going, doing what joke, who's doing this, what's going on,
yeah,
who's the center of attention,
yeah,
blah, blah,
no,
blah.
It's like situations like that, there's always like a center of gravity for conversations, and it'll be like someone will have, like, the most social gravity in a conversation,
sure,
and they'll draw people in, those, that's who people will listen to, they always they can always get a word in, and that's a fascinating thing to watch. Because, like, you can watch a group of people, and like, as new people come in, the gravity just shifts entirely. Like, some sort of, like, a physics-accurate 3D representation of a galaxy, and then you just, like, plop an extra star in there and see how it messes with things. Or of a solar system, and you plop an extra star in there. Because adding a star to a galaxy wouldn't have
really
a noticeable effect.
Much, yeah.
science! Like,
hey, science rules.
Science does rule.
But yeah, there's that definitely the, like, quantifiable effect of, like, someone who has more charisma.
It is charisma.
It's just that.
I just, like,
Whee!
The way that it functions, the way it watches, it's, like, it just... the term social gravity, like, just sticks out in my mind so hard, so that's what I always use for it.
Yep.
It's a weird thing to try and talk to people about who aren't you.
Yeah.
It's people have no idea what I'm saying. Because yeah. not a lot of people think about that sort of thing.
No.
And it comes from like being socially anxious because you end up watching more social interactions than you mm-hmm. participate in.
Yeah, there's a word. It's shy.
Yeah.
You're shy.
Yeah.
I'm shy too. It's interesting. You know, I was. Well, I started watching a bunch of Gene Wilder interviews because, you know,
he's
dead now, and that sucks. And we'll get to him, I'm sure, later on, because he's, like, your favorite guy.
Yeah.
The words, "the only man I would go gay for would be Gene Wilder," have come out of Miles' mouth several times when he's been drunk and watching Blazing Saddles.
It's true.
Whereas I'm like, what about that Mel Brooks,
which is something I try not to say these days. That was a younger Miles thing, because I do feel like it kind of demeans an entire...
culture, yeah.
Yeah, culture. But, you know, I was an idiot boy, so...
Well, yeah, every boy, young person's a moron. Like, the whole goal is by the time you die, you have figured that you're going to be the best person you could ever be.
Yeah.
But I was watching these interviews with him, and he was talking about there's this thing with shy people. And he classifies himself as that, or he did, rather, shy people will be sometimes the most extroverted people you will ever see for brief flashes, because it is this, like, and he was talking about, Mel Brooks, and Mel Brooks has this thing of, like, he's loud and goofy and jokey, and it's because that's how he deals with people. Like, he's anxious, and he's... That's that you put a wall up. You put a wall of funny up, and then you hope that, like, I know I do this shitty thing of, like, I put a wall of funny up, and then I hope people fall in love with that, and then I'm like, good, and then people talk to me one-on-one, and they're like, you're completely different. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I don't know how. That's been pretty consistent throughout my life. I remember in high school, my girlfriend was like, her friends were like, how are you dating him? He is so loud all the time. And she goes, the minute he's not in a room full of people, he's not like that. And I'm like, yeah. It's just because I'm scared.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. But, Gene Wilder's dead and gone.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's, apparently. I was wrong. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at one point. I think got over it. And then if I'm wrong, tweet at me. I'll put my foot in my mouth.
Because it's really fun to watch. Please tweet at him anyway.
Yeah.
Putting his foot in his mouth, vines are super...
Yep. I fucking love vines, you know me.
They're so virile. Those virile videos.
Okay, so... but I do want to be, like, all respect to his family, and I want to get my facts right. So yes. Apparently that's the case. Okay. And that's why he was like, people shouldn't know about it. Because it is, like, that's a terrible thing for someone... in the public eye, for their mind to start to wander like that.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah. I suppose, because, like, with the ADHD comes the bad memory thing.
Yeah, and that is, it's a risk factor for Alzheimer's.
Perform more of that cunnilingus, know what I mean? It's brain food, know what I mean? Know what I'm saying?
Ha ha.
Ha. Ha ha. Mom, you're gonna hate that I said that.
Nice. Ha.
Dad, though, Dad listens to this podcast on his commute. He might go, wait, what?
hey, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, you lived in my basement for a while.
Yeah.
For like a summer.
That's good times.
Yeah. It smelled so bad in that basement, though.
Yeah, we were like, let's be teenage boys down here. Probably jump about and skateboard a lot. just get real sweaty with it.
Everybody getting sweaty with it.
Yeah, it was a good time. Didn't really have a handle on our whole, like, situation, because teenage boys, again, don't ever.
So it's the social anxiety, and then I suppose the ADHD for acting, and then the ADHD is good for the free associative nature of improvisational theater.
Yeah, and that's always nice, and I do feel like I do use that a lot, because,
mm-hmm.
I won't claim that I think, like, at a faster pace than people, because I feel like the implication of that exactly would be saying, like, I'm having, like, the same amount, the same, like, thoughts, the same, like, depth of thoughts as okay. other people quicker, and that's not true. I'm just, like, skipping. I just, like, skip all the steps in between things. So I'll have like 80 half ideas. And that's can be wonderful for improv, just because like someone says an idea and then I like
you have half this idea and then they have another idea.
Yeah, or like I'm like, okay, so I thought a half. Like, I thought, like, five things that reminded me of, and then, one of them's good, I'm gonna flesh that out. Mm-hmm. And using that's really, can be really great for that.
Yeah. I feel like it's less like having more thoughts quicker. Like, sometimes it is, like, racing thoughts. But I feel like often, I know for me, it's like having a bunch of thoughts, like, at the same time, like you're saying. And it's kind of fun because some of them are, like, you know how you can play music in your head, and you can't because you have no visual memory, which is a bizarre phenomenon.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's about. Probably that's something I would love for you to talk to Christina about, like, why that happens.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, like, we have this... Anyway. But I'm visualizing a wildebeest right now and listening to Mozart while I'm looking you in the eye and talking to you and constructing a sentence.
Yeah.
And it's all, like, hits at the same time, and that's why a lot of it, I think, is overwhelming to people who have it, is because it's so much stimulus at the same time, and then you keep adding in things in the real world, and that's difficult.
Yeah, it's also very interesting, everything to look at. Like, it's... There's just so much going on all the time, no matter what. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. I go on the subway, because we live in New York City, and I see people, like... zoning out or like looking down or whatever, and I'm just like, I don't see anyone else looking at
people?
All the people.
Yeah, right.
But I can't help it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even just like, oh, they're so interesting and I like to do it. Like I don't have a choice in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I think a lot of like something not a lot of people get about attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like they understand like because there's no good representation of it in the media. There's no good way to learn about it. And like, oh, the weird kid I went to school with, he was diagnosed and they put him on pills and then he never talked again. People either have that example or they're like, there was an animated film with a squirrel who talked real fast. And that's your other representation that you get as someone with ADD or ADHD. Whereas like, I remember I didn't even know how to think about it because I was told I had it at a young age and I kind of ignored that. Because that's kind of what my mom specifically wanted me to do. She was like, nah. Because my mom had it too, we know now. But she didn't know that growing up. She's like, I've never needed medication. It'll probably be horrible. You should never do that. People shouldn't want my child to be on medication. So I got offended because my mom made me think I should. Oh my god, I don't even remember how I got to here.
That doesn't matter, just keep going.
Yeah, okay.
Look back, keep going forward.
Yeah,
there's no good representation of it.
Yeah, there's no good representation in the media. But, like, so people have, like, not even, like, the wrong idea about
what attention deficit is.
Yeah, it's no idea. And I remember, like, there was a very specific moment where I was having trouble paying attention to a person. Like, my eyes kept shifting to a TV that was on behind them because it was a moving light-up object. And I remember, like, they got a little upset and I apologized and I focused in again. And the third time it happened, they were mad, and the words just came out of my mouth. I can't help it. And I'd never, like, made that realization. That had never come up in my life. And I remember I just, like, broke down and cried. Right there, because it never even occurred to me that I didn't have a choice, but I realized I didn't, and I just never had, so I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I assumed that I was functioning the way everyone else was, because I can't look at me. And then I realized, I lived long enough that I realized I'm not functioning the way everyone else is. And it was just a hell of a thing. So, like, I'm on the subway, and I am looking at everyone constantly, like, wandering around, like, watching people do what they're doing, studying people's faces, because I like people's faces. And no one else is doing this, and I think that that's crazy. Like, what are you doing with your time? There's so much going on. How can you not be looking at it? I just don't even get it. But they don't have an issue with that, apparently, so...
I mean, I feel like, and to leap with us, is a bit of it is... The gift of having, like, that attention problem is that you get to focus on everyone, and you get to look at everyone, and you get to go, oh, people are different, people are unique, and then also, because of that, you're not really focused on yourself so much. Like, the anxiety part of it is generally when you're trying to focus on yourself and trying to figure out what people want from you or that sort of thing, and that's hard because you have a thousand thoughts a second or whatever it is, yeah. And it's rough. But, like, the gift of it is when you pay attention to everything else that's going around you, you become, like, in a weird way, incredibly present and incredibly empathetic, I think, naturally, because of that. It's hard, though, because a lot of the time it'll do the opposite of, like, you're being in your own head, but, like, that's the more, I think, more of the anxiety part. But I do remember, like, when I was in Meisner class, the whole goal of Meisner class is basically not to think, just to be reactive and present and that sort of thing. And I asked my teacher, I'm like, hey, and they do this game, it's not a game, it's an exercise, but it's, you know, the repetition game. It's like, oh, you have a green shirt.
You have a green shirt?
Yeah, you have a green shirt.
You have a green shirt.
You have a green shirt. Like, and you just repeat back and forth and you do this thing. And we were doing that, and I go to my teacher and I'm like, have you ever had music, song stuck in your head when you're doing that? It's incredibly frustrating. She's like, no, that's never happened to me. And I'm like, that was the moment, like, okay, I am operating on a different wavelength than these people. And it was one of those things of, like, the favorites in those classes tended to be not, like, stupid people or anything, but, like, tended to be calmer, tended to be more methodical about their process, more, like, one thing at a time rather than nine things always.
Yeah.
So, but it is this thing of, like, the point being of that story is the fact that, like, you can't engage sometimes. You can't be present because I'm thinking about Wilfred Brimley, and I'm thinking about Stephen Fry, and also flamingos, and also Bach playing, and also now they might be giants, and now the long winters as well, and, like, whew, it's all this stuff going on within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's rough.
I've noticed you were talking about, like, talking about, like, ADD as, like, a almost, like, a countermeasure to this anxiety at times, or, like, a relief from this anxiety, and that is true. Like, I very rarely feel like I'm being affected by both at the same time.
Yep. It's, I've always kind of described it as two things of the same coin, one's positive and one's negative.
Yeah.
Of, like, there's this all this energy, this hyperactivity, and this wonderfulness, and then when that gets turned inward, it gets very negative because you start nitpicking yourself. But continue, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And, but it's weird, because there is, like, there are a lot of positives about my ADD at times. Like, I can use a lot of it very interestingly and well. Like, I think it can make me, like, a more interesting person to be around, just because I will, like, have more energy and a lot of positive energy. But it makes a lot of basic, like, human functioning very difficult.
Yep.
But unfortunately, like, that part doesn't flip with anxiety. Like, I'm no longer that high energy. I don't know how to function in social situations, but I'm not better at accomplishing things. Because as opposed to being like, well, now I could hyper-focus, I'm like, I feel bad, I'm only in bed and watch television. So it's tough.
Because
either, focusing on tasks can be very hard, and, like, managing time very difficult, or that isn't the issue, it's just that I don't want to do any of it.
Yep, and I remember talking to you a bit when I first got diagnosed with just depression when I was like 18 or whatever, and you kind of went, why? Basically. And I was like, well, it's this thing of, like, when you have 9 thoughts a second, at least three of them are going to be negative about yourself, because you have to fill that void with content, and you notice things about yourself. You're like, if you think a lot, you navel gaze, you're self-aware, that means you're aware of your flaws. There's a truck going by, it's very loud. And it is this thing of, like, at least 3, if not 7, are going to be negative things about yourself. And, like, I feel like the link between depression and anxiety is that.
Yeah.
And it's, like, what's weird is, and I was talking to one of my classmates in school about, like, doing, like, emotional prep work. And people, like, when they go, oh, I'm going to play sad, they get very, like, lazy and lethargic and stuff like that. But I'm like, that's not the way it works, because the reason people look that way when they are depressed is because it takes so much energy to do anything. So there has to be that energy behind being sad, because it takes up a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be miserable.
Yeah.
Like, almost more, it is more work to be miserable than it is to be happy.
And there's a fact they used to tell on some kids' TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, technically, it even, like, takes more muscles to frown than smile.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, it is that thing of, like, that's why I think people think depressed people are lazy, and it's not. It's mostly, like, it's just, like, when you're consumed with, like, this, and, like, also anxious people, like, when you're consumed with this all amount of, like, energy, like, that's getting zapped away because you're just trying to not burst into tears or hit something or do something equally shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, I don't know if this happens, yeah, I do know this happens to you, but with anxiety things, I get paralyzed a lot. Like, I physically won't be able to, like, move or speak a lot of the time. And because it's just, it is like the fight or flight, and you don't know what to do, and your body overloads. That happen to you or no?
No, I see, I feel like I'm more likely to have, like, a fight response. Okay. But I will get very, like, I don't really know super how to describe it, because I'm in it as opposed to, like, seeing it.
Yeah.
But, like, I have to, like, stop whatever conversation I'm having, and I need to focus very, very hard on one thing in specific. Mm-hmm. And it is just having, like, it'll be, like, anxiety building, and then just, like, some sort of severe emotional reaction, like a mixture of, like, anger and fear for, like, 30 seconds, and it's super intense.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll happen to me every now and then. Mm-hmm. And that's a rough racket. Not a fan of it.
No. I feel like it's rough. It's gotta be rough for you, because, like, I know I have the benefit of, like, I feel socially anxious a lot. And the way I do it is, like, the Mel Brooks thing of, like, if I cause so much noise by myself and also say stupid things, people can't think I'm stupid because I'm already saying I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's that sort of thing, and it's entertaining, that sort of thing. Whereas, like, what I feel like with you, you look at all the same stimulus, and then you go, oh, I don't know what to do, and then you go inward. And, like, so it's, like, it must be difficult because with the advantage of, like, being outgoing when you're nervous, you kind of get the benefit of, like, people assuming that you're extroverted and therefore kind of liking you because of it, because you, like, you're talking, you're engaged. Whereas I feel like it must be hard because people probably see you as shy and detached and kind of, because I feel like we're the same level of weird, but I'm louder about it.
Yeah, that's probably,
like,
true.
And, like, that's the thing. And whereas, like, so when someone's quiet and weird, apparently it's very, like, I would imagine it'd be, like, weird to deal with.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing is, and the thing is, it's not like a lot of people notice or think something about me. I'll just go unnoticed.
Like, that sentence was rough, but okay.
That's fair, I don't remember it.
Yeah, no, it just was like, and people don't notice with me.
Yeah,
is what
no,
you said,
they,
which is
yeah,
rough. That's a
yeah,
rough thing to say.
But that's kind of how it is. It's
mm-hmm.
like, in a lot of these social situations, I will, like, it's not like people are like, oh, Miles is being awful quiet. Just, like, I'll, like, fade into the background.
That's
right. And I've noted, like, once I've done that, once I've started to do that,
mm-hmm.
I can't really, like, change it.
Yeah. But that does give you the benefit of, like, watching people, though, which is great for, like, acting and, like, observing behavior. And also, like, you were saying at the beginning of it, it's like, coming up with ideas about how people interact and that sort of
yeah.
thing. And what's really great about the whole rapid fire and thinking of five things at once that are free associated are you get to look at problems in a different way.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you only know what's exactly in front of you, like, it's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there, it's an interesting thing. It's just oftentimes very lonely.
Yeah.
Is the main issue with it. I've noticed a lot,
sure.
and, because, like, a big part of, I feel like, social anxiety in general, but I haven't done much research into it, just from what I feel, is, like, a lot of it is less, it's not like, oh, I don't know what to say, so I don't say anything. so I don't talk. It's that I'm, like, afraid people don't want me to engage, or, like, I don't have, like, permission to talk, so I, like, shut off and I can't think of anything to say. Because, like, if when someone comes up to me and starts a conversation, it's not super easy, but, like, it's easier. It's something I can just do. When someone, it's clear someone wants to be talking to me, it's not an issue. It's just that doesn't happen a lot, because not a lot of people are super vocal about that kind of thing.
No.
People, like, let conversations just happen. And if I'm anxious and I try and start a conversation, that comes across, and then people aren't into it, and I notice that because that comes across, and then it's a non-starter.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone, like, comes up to me and starts a conversation, that's a whole nother game. That's a whole different style of thing.
That is also this thing as well of, like, I've noticed a fair amount of people in my life, and, like, there's a very big gap in the middle of people who are in our lives, because we live together and we work at the same place and so forth, have a hard time. I have had to repeat myself very often lately, which is frustrating in general, but also I, like, part of it is I think we just, like, the world is loud, but it's also, like, I will also find myself about to say something and then finding it stupid or not knowing exactly what to say or engaging, and it is this weird vibe that I think New York has of, like, don't bother me. No one wants to be talked to unless you can kind of get something out of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a rough thing to deal with, in general. And then you have the uncomfortability of your situation.
Yeah.
Is it just social anxiety, or do you just, like, get, like, because I know I will wake up and be terrified for an entire day. And just, like, that's good. I'm like, oh, today's this day. I'm going to pretend there's a line in front of me the entire time.
So, I don't know. I know I'll have anxiety about other things as well, but it's not as common. I will just get, like, anxiety attacks. And a lot of times there will be, like, a cause that is something social or having to do with someone else. But I have had anxiety attacks about nothing. It's like, I'm at work, and it's not even busy. I'm not stressed out. I've had some conversations with my coworkers that have gone fine. Nothing was going wrong, and I'm just, like, in it. Like, it is rough in there.
I'm gonna, you know this, but, like, our boss, Jeff, I said something truly, truly bizarre when I was riffing. And he's just like, wow. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he's like, that was something else. I'm like, yeah, I tried living here. It's like the brief glimpses I've seen. Like, as rough as it is when it comes across and people, like, notice it, I'm always like, yeah, try being me. Like, it is this thing of, like, yep, you're right. And, like, but just think for a second. And, like, and this is how I try to operate with other people as well. Is like, if you stop and you think how difficult things are for that other person, you're going to be a lot more tactful and a lot more respectful, and you're going to come from a place of, like, giving a shit about people. But yeah.
I feel like we have, like, talked a lot more about, like, these things than some of the other interviews, but we haven't done as much talking about, like,
dicks.
But yeah, we just, more penis talk.
So
it's like, but how big is yours though?
Apparently now this is gonna be trivia. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea how big my penis is. Not because I haven't seen my penis, not because other people haven't seen my penis, but because of the fact that I don't know the metric system, and I was raised, I was homeschooled. So we thought numbers were evil, the devil's work. And so I don't even know what, you know, it was very confusing with the Star Wars movies as well. I watched them completely out of order.
Right, right.
I watched them, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, New Hope. And I know that's not, that's not the order they were released in, though.
No.
So I know that was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm having a very hard time not trying to laugh at my own joke right now.
I just, I, yeah, I get out a tape measure. I'm like, how many inches? 1, 4, 6, 3. It's only three inches.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah. Little do I know, it's like a thermal man sort of situation down there, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I do well for myself. I'm no Michael Fassbender, man with a cock so big that even Catherine the Great was like, no thanks. Yep. That's my favorite joke.
I know.
I don't have a good setup for it either, ever. Other than just penis talk, which I think should be in my new podcast. Penis
talk.
Yeah. Wiener wagging. No, that's bad.
Well, I got nothing.
Phallusburg. Phallusburg? I think there should be I think there should be a podcast about the criminal justice system called Penal Envy.
That's good.
Thanks.
I like that.
There's this dumb thing of, like, of course, like, and I said this the other day, it's like, whenever there was the word penis envy in Freud's book, you should really think, like, every woman who said that said, what she really meant was, I want a checkbook and control of my own life and basic rights, really.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's like, of course there was penis envy because, like, women weren't allowed to do anything.
I don't need a physical penis. I need, like, the rights that you get when you come out of a vagina with one of those attached to you.
And then the reversely is, like, we all start out as women. That's why men have nipples. And that's, like, so we're in utero. It's like, I'm going to have this nice pair of tits. We all start as Australian as well. It could just be Margot Robbie's and Cate Blanchett's, as far as I can see. But, like, we're in the utero, and we're growing, and we're like, growing this nice pair of tits, and then we start growing something that's absolutely horrible, makes us feel very angry, and it's like a divining rod for bad behavior. And I feel like that's why.
And then we come out and, like, cut a piece of it off.
Yep, and I feel like that's it's just a bad situation. Actually, not the case sometimes. I've heard, but I feel like that is. I feel like that is why men are so angry. It's like because we had this great opportunity to start off as a woman, and halfway through we're like, fuck.
Yeah. Just no. Not beans.
Beans, yeah. I mean, that's fine. I guess I'll get this power, but I really wanted a nice rack. But no, there's this thing of, like, I mean, I might be Jewish, but I know I'm not Jewish. You know what I mean? I say?
Yeah.
So let's go to a caller. Okay. You're on with Miles Neuwirth.
I'm listening.
I have a question for Miles.
Oh, can I get your name quick?
It's Codwaite Throatville.
Codwaite Throatville. Hey, Codwaite. Mind if I call you Cod?
I mean, it's not the best thing, but I'm gonna be fine with it.
Sorry. All right, Coddy. Godzilla. Could you just, what's your question?
I like that one. I was wondering, if you had to pick one Power Ranger to be for the rest of your life, which one would you kill?
So, like, I am a Power Ranger. I don't know which one, but I have to choose a Power Ranger to kill.
For the rest of your
life. For the rest of your life, yeah.
For the rest of your life.
Thank you, Cod. It's a very compelling question. It's like Bernard Pivot up in here.
That's very good, very good. I think... It's tough, because, like, as a young child, I idolized Tommy as the Red Ranger there for a bit. He was very good. But then there was this Green Ranger, and he was a bad guy. So I'm like, I should kill the Green Ranger as a small kid, because he was a bad guy. But, spoilers, Tommy was the Green Ranger. So I, ideal situation, I'd be killing myself.
Really,
I should be the Pink Ranger. Horrible. I'm sorry. I apologize.
So that was
my apologies to fans of the.
I do
Pink
also
Ranger.
Like how
and cod piece.
I do like how the
cod.
You see how these rings around the input.
Rosie?
Yeah, the input here are green.
Yeah.
They spiked up to red when that caller was on the line. So we have a second one.
Oh great, another caller. Hello caller. I'm listening.
Hey.
Oh, could I get a new caller? I mean, your name?
Okay, so next caller is...
You're on the air with Miles.
Yeah, hi, I was wondering,
I was wondering your name.
It's Goldthorb Dingleblatt.
I'm gonna call you Dingle.
Okay, that's fine. I was wondering,
between Papa John's.
Right, okay.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, that's good.
And Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of global economical policy would you implement if you were president?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
Thank you, I thought so too.
I think definitely my global economic policy would have to be Taco Bell.
Okay.
I'm definitely thinking...
You gotta think outside the bun, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're thinking straight, right outside that bun.
Okay.
I respect that.
Yeah, I think Papa John was arrested for something at one point, maybe.
Yeah. Well, he's a cartel guy, right?
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in there.
Yeah, Tingle. Oh, no problem.
And I gotta say that Pizza Hut, sucks.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for calling. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being a big fan.
We're a big fan too, Tingle.
Okay. So we got one more on the line.
Oh, okay. Great. Another caller. Thank God.
Hi. This is, I think you know who this is.
Oh, this is, Barbara Streisand?
I'm very offended. That was very funny, though. I'm equally offended and flattered that you think I'm Barbara Streisand. My question for you was, if you had 9 lives, like a cat...
Much like a cat, yes.
How many of them would you spend just, like, seeing if you could kill yourself?
How do you... Like, so I feel like... Yeah, I feel like what happens is, like, uh-huh. I probably almost die at one point,
yeah.
And I don't, and I should have died, and I'm curious, and I start to think maybe
well,
I'm invincible.
A cat,
yeah,
so, you know.
I start to think maybe I'm invincible, and I do, like, try and off myself again, just, and, like, prove it, and I feel like maybe I do this, because I probably wouldn't jump to the assumption I have a certain amount of lives.
Uh-huh.
I would probably jump to the assumption I can't die now. So I'd probably just for party tricks, probably all 9 until that last one, and then I would... That
you would,
I would
actually
really,
be dead. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I would just be like an idiot child. I just like don't know what I'm doing,
okay.
And then I'm here. I am. I thought it would be a really funny party trick, and now there's blood in the swimming pool and a body that these people have to get rid of.
All right, because I'm asking for a friend. Thank you.
No worries.
Okay, so that was our calling segment of the show. We're testing some new things out here.
Yeah, doing some new bits, bringing in some new flavors.
Yep, just like Dorito does too much. No, it's Lay's.
It's Lay's.
Lay's does that. Stop it, Lay's. Can we just agree that, like, crinkle cut classic chips are the best?
Yeah. Because dips exist.
Exactly. Like,
right, so
chips
listen,
should just be a purveyance to get dip into your
yeah,
face.
Yeah, like, what they should be doing is, and I get it, because dips are trouble in the frickin' in your car and road trips, and that's when anyone eats chips, actually.
No, that's not true.
Just because you've never driven a car doesn't mean that's not how the rest of the world works. They should make different flavored dips instead of different flavored chips. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I don't know. Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I'm just saying that most of the flavors we do have, like there's barbecue chips. You can just dip chips in barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Do it with fries. Even better. Even better.
I'm thinking they made, like, those biscuits and gravy chips. I'm like, I would just love to whip up some sausage gravy and dip chips in it. That would be so good.
No, that's what is really good is the Reuben one. And what the way you do that is you make a Reuben sandwich.
You just
you
eat
make,
a Reuben.
And then you
put
potato
chips
on
crunch.
The Reuben
yeah.
sandwich. And it is delicious, let me tell you. Oh, I didn't realize we had someone else on the line. You gotta go. Okay, anyway.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yes, pretty much.
Gee, I'm super hungry. And,
yeah, I know. You did not take the opportunity. I'm like, hey, do you want to go get food?
I know, I didn't.
You fucked up. I wanted to get Tony, so I'm also getting kind of peckish as well.
Well, food is good.
Yeah,
food.
Do you have a hard time eating? You don't. You have the opposite. Do you think you eating a lot is actually part of the anxiety thing? Do you, like... Because I know we eat a lot of ice cream, and I know the reason I do it is because I feel bad about myself and need some sort of endorphin
sugar,
buzz.
Yeah. Sugar is helpful for that. No, I feel like a lot of it's just specifically growing up, I had a wicked fast metabolism. Like,
yeah.
I'm just always hungry. Because I'll notice when I'm one-on-one with people and, like, having conversations, I eat very slowly, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a noticeable thing. Like, on several occasions, I've been like, oh, I'm not eating at all. Like, none of my food is going anywhere. I'm just in this conversation. So it's possible that, like, when I am suffering from social anxiety, I would eat more. I know I eat when I'm bored.
Yeah.
It's
rough.
And I'm always bored. Yeah, I'm gaining some weight. I gotta fix that.
Yep. It is this thing, June, like, I have the Travis McElroy, like, philosophy on eating of, like, the quickest conveyance into my body to be fuel is the best way to eat food. That being said, I do eat slowly because I do talk too much. But, like, if I'm just, like, eating food by myself, it will be gone in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I eat very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
It's just, like, get in my body. I don't need any fuss. And also, I generally don't eat good food. Like, I don't eat bad, like, food per se, but, like, I won't make an extravagant meal for myself.
Yeah.
And go, oh, I'm going to savor these flavors. I'm going to be like, oh, I have to eat, I'll whip up a pork chop and just shove it in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that exactly. I feel like in part of it's just because I eat so quickly. I'm like, I don't want to spend 2 hours. It won't be 2 hours. I don't want to spend an hour making a meal, and it will take me 5 minutes to throw that down.
That being said, there is stuff that is worth it. Like, the 2 days it takes to make a brisket, all worth it.
It's fair, God. But that's also not something I would make for myself. I feel like...
Oh, God.
The reason preparing a meal is... Oh, like, brisket, though.
Brisket. I like how...
I was trying, and then you... But I pulled back. We're going to try a new segment.
It's called...
Brisket Corner.
Brisket Corner.
I should have drank coffee.
I know.
As well.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
I know. Appetite's present. I'm going to cough.
So that's a little coffee for you there.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Nice.
So you rap, and I know it's because you have a rapidity of thought, and that helps. I know, like stuff you and I will both do this thing of, like, we'll be singing Hamilton to ourselves while we're at work, because we have to have something else going on.
Yeah, and it's,
in order to focus.
Yeah, it will help, like, it'll calm my thoughts if I can focus all my thoughts on something that is very quick. Mm-hmm. A lot of the draw to rap, and I don't know the exact cause of all this, is, when that art style is done well in a way that I, like, find pleasing, it's my favorite thing in the world, and it's just, like, making words and syllables fit together, like, flawlessly, like a beautiful puzzle, with, like, meaning and rhyme and just, like, when you can make words fit in an order that is, like, flawless, like, the syllables line up perfectly, and you can make it rhyme, and you can have, like, one or two meanings in that sentence, like, mm-hmm. That's such a beautifully crafted thing to me, that I just want to dip my foot in there and try and figure some of that out. I just want to try and be involved in that art.
Yeah, and it's this thing as well, like, there's a lot of puns in rap. Like, that's something that, like, people are really, like, it's a lot of wordplay, it's a lot of, like, celebration of language, which is always why, like, my mom's an English major, and she doesn't really like rap, and it's mostly to do with content.
Yeah.
I think she would like Hamilton if she listened to it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things of, like, when old white people go, ah, oh, there's no sentence to it, and it's like, there's a lot, it's incredibly clever when you get someone gifted like Gambino or Kendrick Lamar, like, throw that stuff down to use the lingo that they probably no longer use.
Yeah. And that is the thing, because, like, and, like, you can be like, there is a lot of insubstantial rap that, like, is just about, like, it's just about gross things and beats. But there's crap in every art form.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
I love Johnny Cash, but Tim McGraw. Kenny Chesney?
Krab Maga.
But Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw.
But yeah, it's totally that. And, like, even like, in not even just music, is like, I like poems, too. I've also read a lot of bad poems.
Yeah.
I've written a lot of bad poems.
Yeah, oh my God. We did a poetry segment in school growing up, and I just did every single one of them about Star Wars. You're like, we're gonna do all the different different types of poems, and I did literally every single one about Star Wars. That was a real thing.
That sounds amazingly bad.
It was very good. It was,
like, very good. There it is. That's how you use that.
I don't have any of them more. I don't have any of them anymore. I apologize to our listeners, because I'd love to whip that out.
I wish I could remember the different kinds of poems off the top of my head, because I know I've taken poetry classes, and it's like 575 for haiku or something like that. And, like, I wish I could, like,
so I think it's
do
haiku.
That. Hmm.
I think it's a haiku.
I'm glad I had you repeat that. There's so much going on inside. Like, a motorcycle just went by, and now a car alarm's going off.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. But, like, I wish I could, because if I could remember the different styles, I could write poems on the fly like that. And, like, as opposed to, like, I can write poems, but it's all A, B, A, B, or A, A, B, B, 8 sort of stuff.
A, B, 8.
Who were people, like, we talked a little bit about Gene Wilder, but, like, was that someone from the beginning? That you're like, this guy, though, with his stuff, he makes me happy.
It was a little later that I, like, fell in love with Gene Wilder, and I remember the exact performance that it was.
He rode a blazing saddle, he wore a shining star.
Yeah, no, I remember the first time I saw Blazing Saddles, like, the performance Gene Wilder gives in that is one of my favorite performances on screen. Like, it's one of my favorite performances that's ever been captured. Because he is, like...
He's subtle and funny, and there's something about him that's
magnificent. And he's, like, so... He does so little, but, like, you love him so much. Like, it's, like... Like, mm-hmm. You can just... Oh, my God, he just draws you in. It's... magnificent.
There's this thing, and like, I wanted to post it on Twitter, but like, the character limit, and today's my birthday, so I don't want to do it on Facebook, because it seems weird to be talking about a dead person on your birthday on Facebook, to me, but this is probably just my social, media anxiety, which should be a thing, and yep. Is a real thing.
Yeah, it probably is.
Is acting up, but anyway, it's this thing of like, we keep losing these actors. By that I mean, it's him and Robin.
Yeah.
Had this, and him, like, we don't get these actors very often, and they're a very wonderful kind of actor, and I wish there were more of them. That being said, if there were more of them, there would probably be a little less special, but let's get to the subject of the sentence, Tristan. Okay, fine. Of that, like, there's magic in them. Because we don't have a lot, like, acting has turned this corner of, like, really hyper-believability, and it's really great that that is a thing, and there's some stellar acting going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one who has that twinkle in their eye and that warmth. And because it's like, we live in such a fucking cynical world and stuff. And it, like, it's very, yeah. Like, I don't know. But, like, he was kind of, like, the last of his kind wandering around. And that's why it was particularly sad to me. And I wish we had more people who had that warmth and that wonder about them. And there's a couple still working, but, like, it's... They're fewer and farther between nowadays.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. It's a damn shame. Because, like, he, Danny Kaye, and Robin all had that thing of, like, there's just this, there's so much joy going on with what they were doing. Ian McKellen has it, though.
Yeah.
Specifically, and I'm going to brag here, like, seeing him on stage, Ian McKellen has it. Where he has, like, you're having so much fun. And that's wonderful. But they're very, I feel like they're very few and far between nowadays. Hugh McGregor has it as well.
Yeah.
But.
Man. Trainspotting 2, though.
I'm so excited about this.
Oh my goodness.
I just love the fact that he, Ewan took, what was that, Mordecai? Just because he's like, I really wanted to work with Johnny Depp. Like, I'd never done it. I wanted to do it. I don't care what movie it is. I'm going to work with Johnny Depp. Thank you. But yeah.
And I seriously believe Ewan McGregor did the movie where he was Jesus. Just so the footage was there for people to make fan-edited Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine trailers. I think that's why he did it.
Probably. This is what the people want. Not me playing Jesus, but, of course...
Me wandering the desert.
So they can edit in the starship,
where
really probably a giant cross should be. I don't know. I haven't seen that movie. I don't. It doesn't look like a good movie. Like,
And this is Ewan McGregor talking about the movie, saying he hasn't seen it.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't even seen it. I just wanted it for Tatooine stock footage.
Yeah.
Really, is what it is. You know, I've noticed this thing about Scottish actors. We never ask them to use their actual accents.
I know.
Like, you got Ewan McGregor, beautiful sounding voice. You got James McAvoy, also lovely sounding. Craig Ferguson as well. And we never have them play Scottish men.
No.
Even Jerry Butler, never uses it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's this thing of like, oh, we found the Scottish accent so attractive. We don't. We gotta stop lying about it. Same with Irish people. Because it is this thing of like, people do like, oh, I love the Irish accent. And we do, but we don't like listening to it. Like, we like doing it, we don't like listening to it. Except for Liam Neeson, but he sounds mostly American these days.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's this weird thing of like, American, can we just like admit that we like English people and that's bloody well about it?
Yeah.
I'd say Hiddleston has that twinkle about him sometimes as well. Like, I feel like as a person he does.
I haven't seen a lot of his work
but like,
recently. I've just seen, like, his Loki stuff.
And he has it in that quite well.
Yeah.
And he has that sort of, like, light about him. But it is this thing of, like, he's been doing a lot of, like, very serious roles lately. And it's, like, I get wanting to do that. But I'm also like, if you have that gift, please lean into it. We need more people like it.
Yeah, it's true. I'd love to be doing that kind of work. Just that sort of, like, light, happy, like... So I feel like it's very helpful. It's something, like... Like, and it's the sort of thing, like, that Robin did just so much in his career. Like, it's what he built his career off of, was these, like, light... And it did feel like a medicine for the state of society.
Literally, Patch Adams is just about that.
Yeah.
Like,
but it is this thing as well, like, it's like looking at the darkness and laughing at it, and that's what it is. And there's a lot of ways that can come out, but like the joy about it is, I think, good. And there are also like movies like that aren't being made anymore.
Yeah,
the closest thing is Hector and the Search for Happiness. It's
yeah.
Just another Simon has that in that movie. Like
yeah,
he crushes
it.
In that movie.
He doesn't. He does it pretty well.
Yeah.
See, in a lot of. His stuff recently. I thought he did it very well in Terrible Fear of Everything as
well.
Oh
yeah, absolutely.
It's also wonderful. He's
he's a very
good actor.
He's
like,
very
he's
fine.
Scotty, his last Scotty performance.
Yeah, I was gonna say the track is
very
like hopeful. That's what it is. It's not joy, it's hope.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
And like more so this last one than Into Darkness.
Yeah. That's because he had a good script this time. And he also
yeah.
wrote it for himself. He's like, this is... Like, and I get this feeling that like that's the kind of roles that Simon wants to do, but like he keeps getting... handed like loud mouthed sweary guys
yeah.
because that's what he's known for, you know, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The movie you shouldn't see but should see, stand up, like I think I can't remember what it's called, but him and Lake Bell, it's incredibly uncomfortable, but he also does that and he's just fantastic in it.
I believe
but
it.
You had something to say, go.
My mind was wandering for a little bit, as it does, and I went back to, an idea that's coming up in my head a lot is, I'm very big into this idea of, underrepresentation of, mental disorders in the media, and I do feel like that style of movie, like, trying to talk about these things is like, kind of what I want to do right now. What I've been, like, focusing on, like, I've been thinking about what I want to try to do with my career.
Yeah.
And I realize that's the next battle we need to fight as a society.
I would say it's a battle.
Well, the thing is, we're in the middle of three that we've been fighting for a very long time.
Down with the gays, down with the non-whites, and which is better, Quiznos or Subway?
Yeah. Those three battles that are still going on, though, like...
Quiznos,
like,
I think...
What's
sad is, like, Quiznos lost that battle, but they were right.
They were right, yeah, they
it's
were.
It's like
and they...
9/11 all over again. I don't know what that means. Please bail me out of this.
No, I think you should sit in it a little longer and
oh,
elaborate on how it's like 9/11 all over again. Tristan Miller, No, because, like, don't get me wrong, like, there's a lot of stupid arguments you can make about, like, okay, so yes, we don't have equal rights for gays, minorities, or women. They have more rights. They're not being treated as poorly as they used to, but
it's not a fight so much as a progression now.
Yeah, yeah. And you can make the same argument with mental health, because, like, yeah, they used to just throw them in dungeons. Or put them to work in fields.
Or stone them to death.
Yeah.
Because they thought demons were in them.
Yeah, and we're doing that less now, but...
I have this theory, like, with... There's this story in the Bible where, like, okay, there's a... Jesus exercises a demon, basically. He's like, okay, give me 20 squats, but no.
It's the thing of, I probably just, like, went up and talked to the guy. Like, because this guy had been, like, a menace, and, like, people were like, he sucks. Whereas producer probably just went up to him like, hey, dude, you okay? He's like, no. Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're saying...
I think Jesus was a time traveler. I had some dope-ass, just great meds. Just, like, started...
It's like, have you tried this thing called... It rhymes with schmithlium.
Yeah.
I call it happy rock rock. Happy rock rock. Just lick this rock 3 times a day.
There you go.
Yeah, it's got all the things that you need it.
Plants crave.
There you go.
It's full of electrolytes.
But yeah, it is a battle of getting representation and accurate representation.
And I'm thinking,
as
like,
well.
Yeah, what I'm, like, the position I'm trying to put myself in would be a position where I would be someone to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, people aren't talking about this or making films about this or doing this well. I'm like, I want to talk and make films, and I have experience with this.
That's why I'm very excited about, like, Chris's autism project. Like,
yeah.
That's something, like, I don't care how, I would like to be involved with, because, like, that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of misinformation about autism.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And some that's, like, that people do find hard to talk about. And, like, we should, like... A part of that is, like, we need to build the... We need to, like, make well-known, like, good language to talk about this in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and, like, just start the conversation. And that's true about, like, so many things.
I don't agree. I don't think people should talk about mental health at all. I don't think people should talk in a room person... about mental health at all, and then post it on the internet. This seems to me like a poor behavior.
I think I was gonna take a shot at our lack of listeners.
Oh yeah. Well, like, here's the thing.
It's like, if someone did that, no one would listen.
You'd be right. It depends on the person. This is what I've been finding. Like, I have, like, a core group of about 10 people that listen to this podcast. Thank you, 10 people. Thank you, turkeys. You sick. Jive turkeys. But anyway, but then the people who I interview bring on board people, which is interesting to see. By far, Cassandra's is the, like, just kicked everyone else's ass. It was awesome.
I believe it. Believe it.
Because she is dope as hell.
I'm gonna put all of my personal...
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put all of how I feel about myself, my personal value, straight into how many people I get to listen to this. So
I don't recommend it. I've been
doing it, and it's not great.
It's not great. Yeah.
I want to see how I rank in your friends in that you interview. I just want to see where I fall in the line. Like, maybe, like, obviously not Cassandra level, but like, maybe, like...
Now, it's also this other key thing of, like...
Guilford, around Guilford.
Like, here's the other thing about, you also have to, like, promote it as well.
Yeah.
Like, the people who haven't done, like, who've had lower numbers is because, like, they haven't gone, hey, look at this thing I did. They've gone, oh, I did a thing, and that's good enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, like, just logistics of podcasting. That was fascinating, right? But
super.
Because this is also a good example of, like, how you jump and free associate and, like, how minds work. Like,
yeah.
I think the coolest thing about this thing that I've been doing is it's always giving examples about how people with these things, it's like painting a portrait of them and how they act. And, like, it was specifically, like, when, like, Margaret came on, it was very clear, like... how she and I bounced off of each other, of like, oh, this is how two people with this thing interact.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But I agree where it's like, and it is this thing of, like, I was talking with Tyler months ago. He was talking about, like, all this stuff with her race and that sort of thing. And he goes, like, I respect it. I think it's important. And, like, they are right for fighting this fight. It is not my fight. I will help them if I can, but I'm white. So I'll help them from this side if I can, but it's not my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I stopped and I had to think, what was my thing? And it's this. This is my thing. These are my people. So I agree totally. I'm kind of like talking over you, but this is what happens when we talk in a room.
Yeah. No worries. And that is why I do think this thing is important.
Oh,
I was glad when you decided to do it for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. Because I did realize, and I, like, when I remember going to see Hamilton, I was sitting there in the theater afterwards, and I'm sitting there, like, shaking, and I just knew that I needed, I knew I needed to do something.
Which was clean up your trousers.
Which was just, yeah, clean up that situation, because it got rough.
Have you ever pooped and had a boner at the same time? It's rough.
It's,
depends, but anyway.
Involuntary ejaculation, it got all mixed together.
This is disgusting. Can we stop this?
like, you started this.
Yeah, okay. I know, but I stopped it and said, okay, moving on.
No, I just need, like, I'm like, Tristan, you do actions, and I have to let you know there are consequences for them.
Well, you can bust my balls all the time.
And I sat there for so long, and I'm like, what if, like, these people were fighting for something so important. Mm-hmm. What am I fighting for? What should I fight
for?
What are you for? And then I realized there is something that that does bother me, that needs to be fought for, that I, and like, I'm in a position where I do suffer from these mental disorders, but in specific ones, and in a specific way, where, like, I can still, like, talk about it and be compelling and relate to people who do not have them at times, and, like, try and make it clear. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, there are some people who can't effectively speak for themselves.
Yep.
And they should be, and like, so I should try and help, because everyone should try and help any way they can.
Representation is important.
Yeah.
And here's going, like, I'm kind of related to Hamilton. This was a thought that I forgot and I remembered. And what's cool about, like, okay, what's interesting about mental disorders is because there is this, like, whole weird stigmatism and stigma to it is what I meant to say. And then it came out of stigmatism, which is an eye problem, not a mental problem. Other than, like, anyway, it is this thing of, like, so many of our presidents have not been mentally sound.
Yeah.
James Madison suffered from social anxiety, as did Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln, both were manic depressive.
Yeah.
Like, it's shit like that. And it's like, when you also take that into account, that explains why Lincoln was like, no, we're not doing this thing. Because, like, with any sort of, like, every person with manic depression that I've encountered has a bit of obsessive compulsive disorder and of, like, obsession with that. And, like, that makes total sense why he would be like, no, I can do this thing, number one. And number two, this is the thing that has to happen. Also, was because, like, you can't have a country divided in half. So many other reasons. But, like, it was this thing of, and, like, looking at Hamilton specifically as well, like, I think he's probably on that spectrum as well, because someone who wrote that amount of things in that amount of time is insane. Yeah. Like, and it is this thing of, like, people of influence and people who have done great things and people who have had normal lives and, like, have had these things, and you have to treat them like people rather than an idea. And that's, I think, the biggest problem we have in life is treating people like ideas rather than people.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing of, like, you wouldn't point to someone and go, that guy's a black. Not anymore, because that's horrendously racist.
Yeah.
Not unless you're, like, I guess, in Australia or whatever. Because
Australians aren't racist anymore.
But it is this thing. Like, so you wouldn't point to someone and go, oh, they're a bipolar. And it's like, no, you would go, they have this thing and that's part of them, but that's not, like,
their defining feature.
Yeah, there's this also this huge idea in mental illness of, like, what's your personality? What are your symptoms? Because they're different.
Yeah.
Like, when I feel really sad and stuff, I know that's a symptom. It's not who I am.
Yeah.
Because I know who I am in my core, and it's not that kind of person. And so, like, when I'm angry and, like, blah, 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 it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you want to go get some ice cream?
Yeah, how long have we been going?
About an hour 20. We've been going about an hour 20.
Oh, okay, cool.
Probably could cut this out anyway, but it's fine. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
Walking across the hall.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Like I said, this thing is, I think this is a cool, important thing. All our listeners, they're going to be people who know me. If you guys want to find my work, milesneuwirth.com, all one word.
Really? That wasn't taken? Miles Neuwirth wasn't taken. Wow.
I've had that since I was, like, 16, my dude. I've had milesneuwirth.com for 9 years now.
That math's not right, because you are, in fact, 73, right? Because I'm 72. I turned 72 today.
Yeah.
And you're a year older.
Sorry. Different, dang it. I want to do an old person voice, but I couldn't pick one.
So milesandhoover.com. You can go to miles005 on Twitter if you want to follow me on Twitter.
Instagram as well. There's a lot of what I love about my Instagram is you can find a lot of really great photos of Tristan.
It's true. I wouldn't say they're great, but I would say there are a lot of photos of me.
Very good. thank you for having me on. If you want to see more of Tristan's work, you can.
Do you want to get good birthday ice cream?
Yeah, let's get some ice cream.
Okay, let's get.
My tears, my weapons, I was slinging guilt like bullets. Back when I was 11, I was a gunslinger, till I traded my guns in for a sense of morality. Now I'm emotionally stunted and I am so afraid that I'll be manipulated, that I have cut my emotions from communicating. And this bed is a way station that I can bury my face in, and I wanna bawl, but I know that I don't cry at all. Pick an ideal, I give it all of my power. I'm going after it like Roland went after the Dark Tower. Till my eyes grow hollow, my soul grows sour. I'm giving everything I have for my shot at the tower. And the life I'll never live seems so inconsequential. But I am gambling for everything against my potential. As I reach for the ledge, cut out the inessential. So I'm climbing alone where the doubt is torrential. And if it's always raining, learn to love the sound of rain. And if they always hating, better learn to love the pain. And as the solitude is slowly driving me insane, I wanna fall, but I know I don't cry at all. Searching for a stone, a rose, a found door. And I keep thinking I should search less and live more. But this quest and from my tower is what I'm living for. And this will heat up, but I will cool down. Cause I am ice cold perfection at the center of town. You know it's high noon, I'm waiting on that showdown. When the steel clears leather, time will slow down. They're coming at me, but I know that I can hold ground. And if you hear these words of mine, it'll be the last sound. Cause I am remembering the face of my father. The bar is set, but I'm pushing it farther. It's hard, but I'm trekking it harder. They call me smarter, calling out to the holiest martyr. I'll be crawling towards the tower, even after I fall. And I wanna bawl, but I know that I don't cry at all.